shadow shall fall over the universe, and evil will grow in its path, and death will come from the skies.
Uh-oh.
Hi guys, Octopus Caveman here.
I'm Peter.
And welcome to Popcorn with Candy, the podcast where we talk about the films of the late, great John Candy in close to chronological order.
I think we're there.
Nah, we're going off IMDb, so whatever. Today we're talking about heavy metal.
Yeah.
From 1981.
Unfortunately.
I love this movie.
Well, you're weird.
I don't know what your problem is with this movie.
It's creepy.
It's meant to be kind of creepy, though.
No, it's creepy in the way it didn't mean to be.
I don't know. How do you mean?
It's G.I. Joe, Scooby-Doo, and late-night HBO porn.
The Scooby-Doo I don't understand. The other ones I totally get.
There's a whole Scooby-Doo scene where they're running around and doing the different, like, the Scooby-Doo hallway scene.
I guess. You're talking about the Hanover Fisk?
I have no idea.
No. I don't really see the Scooby-Doo. I think this is because you didn't see this as a kid. I grew up watching this over and over. I had this on VHS. Like you said with Stripes, I didn't need to watch this. I could have just told you this whole movie, beginning to end.
Yeah, that's weird.
It still holds up okay for me. Last night I tried to watch Heavy Metal 2000. That one is garbage. The first one is okay.
And I saw a little bit of that one with you, and it looks exactly the same.
I don't know. This one's great. The soundtrack is great. Any complaints on the soundtrack?
I didn't really care enough to pay attention.
I think this is like the division with us, because this is very much like a stoner cartoon.
This I can see enjoying yourself while watching this movie.
You're making it sound like sexual.
Well, all the nudity.
Those parts are gross. Cartoon sex is gross.
Yeah, so how do you like this at all? It's like all of it.
I don't know why.
Every like other scene, you get boobies.
Yeah, and it's kind of absurd. I think it's funny you don't remember Major Boobage, the South Park parody, but that is so spot on. Kenny hallucinates that whole world and there's just boobs everywhere.
I think I remember parts of that. I didn't know it had anything to do with this.
No, it's just a heavy metal parody.
Okay.
But I like it. I've read the magazine. It came from a great heavy metal magazine. It was this like sci-fi comic strip magazine.
Okay.
So just interesting sci-fi shows. For me, this is kind of similar to Twilight Zone, because you'd get a heavy metal magazine and there'd be like three or four little vignettes in it. You know, a lot of times a little bit dark or a little bit more edgy than Twilight Zone. This is kind of similar to that.
Okay.
Just, no, huh?
No.
Great cast. Joe Flaherty, John Candy, Eugene Levy, Harold Ramis.
But you just get their voices.
Yeah.
I'm a little bummed. I mean, it's not that exciting.
Yeah, and there's not even much fun trivia, because for John, it was just like, oh, I got a phone call and went down and I did three sessions and that was it. I love this, though. I think it's great. I think for me, maybe it's just nostalgia a little bit, and then I like the music, and it's kind of goofy and over the top, but it's okay for me. It plays for me. Do you have a favorite?
The style of animation they used for the beginning.
But not you don't have like a favorite story?
No.
Wow. Do you have a least favorite?
The zombie one.
Really?
Yeah, that was just lame and weird.
I agree. That's probably my least favorite, but didn't even
actually,
like...
no. The overall story is the one that bothers me.
Oh, okay.
The one that is in between each little story.
You didn't like Den? John Candy as the strong guy?
No, because he was a little kid that turns into this buff dude... And then just bones chicks.
He was 18 years old. The comedy in that is great.
Oh my god, no it wasn't.
Oh god, this is gonna be bad. I love this. Let's get into it. We open on the green orb floating in space, and then the awesome space shuttle from below, you know, kind of the like Star Wars opening iconic shot, but it's the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the orb kind of flies into the space shuttle, hatch drops open, convertible comes out.
Yeah, convertible entering the atmosphere. A cool animation style. I did like the
so
style.
It's so rockin'. And while I was watching, it's kind of early MTV,
yeah.
Moon Man type of weird animation.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
Weird motion capture animation.
Right.
While I was watching this, I was just like, how awesome would gravity have been if that's how she made it back to Earth? It just finds a bitch in convertible and rides it back. So it lands. That's the opening credits. I think it's great. It's a cool look.
It worked until he walks into the mansion.
Yes, he drives to a house. The house looks like the Twilight Zone house. Do you remember the Twilight Zone with Bill Mummy where he's the creepy kid and he's like, Anthony, wish him into the corn?
I do.
And they did it in the movie as well. They pull up and it's just a house in the middle of nowhere and everybody's eating like cake for breakfast.
I barely remember that. I know something about
that. That house is totally that house from that Twilight Zone house. So the astronaut walks through the door. He looks nothing like an astronaut. He looks so sleazy. He's got like a sleazy mustache and just an overall look. Like, he doesn't look like an astronaut. He looks like Vinny the Lone Shark.
From?
Just like he would be a lone shark. Okay. Just like some creepy character.
Yeah, he was weird. And it becomes G.I. Joe at that point.
Not really. G.I. Joe doesn't have...
the exact animation style.
Oh, the animation style for sure.
And it was disappointing.
Daughter runs down the stairs. You know, what did you bring me?
Ah, you'll have to wait and see.
He's just so creepy. They just chose such a bad animation style for that astronaut.
Yeah, and he's an awful father.
Yeah.
You're going to open something you don't know anything about and let it melt you?
Yeah.
And your daughter?
Spoiler alert, guys. Next part. Opens it up, it melts him.
Yeah, in the best way, because it melts other people later and it's not as cool.
So it melts him into nothing. He goes from skeleton to dust, and then the dust is gone. Just total vaporized. And the girl is upset, clearly. The gape on her face, like, she's just so shocked. It's like, if you want to see a cartoon overreact to something, this is the movie for you.
I don't know if that's overreacting, but they really got terror on that girl's face.
My note was that I didn't know a cartoon could overreact so hard.
But they had like two frames of her like in absolute terror, and they left it on that for so long.
They did.
Go back and forth.
It's a little silly, but I like it. And it's the Lochnar, which is sort of the whole story for this. This Lochnar is here showing her various little vignettes where it has made an appearance.
It claims it's the sum of all evil in the universe.
And it kind of goes back to it being discovered, I guess? Because we have an alien planet. We have the awesome music. It's Blue Oyster Cult's Veteran of a Thousand Psychic Wars for this part.
Okay.
I own the soundtrack. I love these songs. This is a killer.
The music was fine. I didn't pay attention enough to really care.
Oh, man.
I didn't care enough to pay attention.
Pay attention enough to care. So we have the dude with the alien metal detector.
Yeah.
My note is, I don't remember his name, but do you remember in DuckTales Uncle Scrooge's nemesis, the other Scottish rich guy?
I don't remember his name.
He looks like a human version of him, like with the red beard but no mustache.
I remember that, but I don't remember his name.
I don't either. I don't know. So he sort of digs up the orb. And a couple of alien guys get melted. I don't know how the melting works. The Lochnar melts people
that touch it.
Not everybody that touches it, though.
You're right. There are some that can touch it.
But it's totally just, it's like its will. Like, it decides to melt certain people and not others.
If you're not worthy to touch it, who knows? It's a movie.
I know, but
and even worse, it's a cartoon.
I'm thinking of the people that can touch it. We know Hand Over Fist can touch it. I don't know of anybody else that can touch it.
Maybe Hand Over Fist was just evil, so it was okay with it.
Yeah, and then
let's get into that later. So the miners, they have this crazy machine come up and dig it up. One of the miners goes up and touches it, and he vaporizes in a boring way. Nothing as cool as the dad guy.
Yeah, this one was a little bit more of a throwaway animation. And we have Harry's story. Harry Canyon. The name bothers
me. I didn't catch that.
It bothers me. Especially at some point he says, nobody touches Harry Canyon unless I want them to.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a cabbie.
He's reading the newspaper, and the Lochnar is going to be at the Met. And this is like post-apocalyptic kind of garbage.
And the dude with the mustache is in the paper. He's the one who's going to be there. And he gets a fare to go to the UN building slums.
He picks up the awesome 80s punk rock, punk kid parody.
Yeah.
It's so great. He's so like the like stereotypical punk.
Is it internal monologue? He talks about the slums?
Yeah.
At the UN building?
UN building. The voiceover acting for Harry kind of bothers me. Because he's doing this noir thing, but it's just not a right fit. He's a little nasally for me. He's just a little too much like this. And you know, that was a pretty good impression, wasn't it?
Kind of. I don't know.
UN building. What is
the dude tries to hold him up.
And he's got the awesome foot switch.
That's pretty awesome.
Flips a foot switch and it melts him in the back seat.
There's a lot of melting people in this cab alone, but in the movie.
It's pretty meltacular.
Yeah. I would not get in a cab if this existed.
I love that he melts the dude and then has his glove box completely full of other weapons people have tried to kill him with. Just, it's an arsenal. There's a grenade in there. How do you try and hold up a cab driver with a grenade?
I don't know.
Just, I'm going to pull this pin.
If they pulled the pin, how do you melt the guy?
Yeah. It's a movie. I love the weapons glove box. And then right after this, we get nobody touches Harry Canyon unless I want him to. So the professor is the Scrooge McDuck's nemesis. He gets killed by some space mob guys at the museum, at the Met.
Really bad stereotypical mobster.
I love that, though. He's so... Every mob boss since The Godfather is just a Brando kind of knockoff. So this space mob alien is kind of Brando. The henchmen even are just very, like, stereotypical mob henchmen. So the professor gets killed in front of the museum, and his daughter is there and runs into Harry's cab to get saved. The boobs in this are ridiculous.
They are.
Every single girl has just gigantic heaving breasts, and it's bizarre because it's a cartoon. Like, is it supposed to be sexy?
It's definitely not meant for kids.
And I watched this as a kid. Grew up watching this. You'd think this would be exciting, but it was just like, cartoon boobs. Didn't really do it for me.
Maybe that's what they were going for. They get all the kids to talk their parents into letting them buy it. The parents don't watch it, so they don't care.
Is this responsible for some of the bizarre cartoon porn on the internet now?
Maybe.
Kids like me growing up watching these cartoon boobs?
Maybe. I don't know.
These are bizarre, but...
Is it like this stuff?
I don't know.
Weird.
I think that this movie is so clearly made by dudes for dudes. This is such, like... You see every woman in this, you see them naked. Except for one, the little girl.
Really? Every woman you...
Every single woman, you see them naked. Full frontal. Like, drawn... everything. And it's bizarre. Every woman is this, like, specific type of woman. They're just, like, top-heavy, ridiculous cartoon women. This is such a weird, nerdy male fantasy. Every one of these.
That might be what bothered me so much. It's creepy.
I get it. So Harry picks her up. She falls asleep, and you get that like shot of her laying in the back, and you can see her underwear. It's just kind of pervy and weird.
Absolutely.
So he goes to the cops to report the murder, and he's carrying her passed out body and rings a buzzer for the cops to report a murder. It's like, if somebody showed up at the police station carrying a body, like, I want to report a murder. Wouldn't you ask a few more questions?
Probably.
It goes in. There's a room full of prostitutes. They all know him.
Yeah.
And the cops are corrupt in this universe. I don't know how he didn't know that. Basically, they said it's $1,000 a day for an investigation. And John Candy's the cop. He shows up right away.
Yeah.
He's the first cop.
Just a short scene.
Yeah.
He basically says, I'm not going to spend that, and walks away with the girl.
It gives him some money, though. He tosses him a coin. Harry tosses the cop a coin, like, yeah, keep it or something. It's a weird little scene. So he goes to his place. He just takes her back to his place because he's not going to pay for the investigation.
And perfect movie scene. As soon as he puts her down, she wakes up.
At this point, I was like, this is Fifth Element.
Oh, no, don't ruin that movie.
This is pretty Fifth Element, dude.
Oh, shut up.
The whole universe, everything, this is...
Oh, crap. You just ruined Fifth Element.
The parallels are pretty close.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to see that movie without seeing this dumb movie.
This movie has so many influences on other movies, it's ridiculous.
Stop ruining them for me, though.
Oh, man. So he puts her down. He makes the grossest sandwich, and I think it's just because it's cartoon. He makes a sandwich. He's just eating it gross. He doesn't offer her one, nothing. He just eats a sandwich, goes to bed. And then, of course, because this is bizarre male fantasy land, she comes in, Harry, can I sleep with you? Gets naked, and the cartoon bush is disgusting. It's disgusting. These people have never seen a real woman. Whoever animated this? This is bizarre. So Harry beds down with her.
Creepy sex scene.
Just read this off note, please.
The bush is ridiculous. Cartoon love scenes are gross.
So Harry wakes up and the girl is gone.
The cops wake him up.
Yeah, the cops are there. John Candy as one of the cops. And they're threatening him. They want to find out where the girl is.
He gets held up in the cab and for some reason doesn't get to push the button.
I don't know how he doesn't. He gets in the cab and the mob is in the back seat and they just say, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And he listens.
But it worked out for him because the boss steps in instead. And
so basically they just say they've got a deal to buy the Lochnar from the girl.
Right, and she's ruining it or something.
Yeah, she's holding out. So if you see the girl, whatever, contact us.
So everybody's looking for the girl, the cops and this guy.
And Harry takes off and the mob lackeys are tailing him. And he gets a robot message, which is awesome.
I kind of like that. Hopefully the world gets to something like these message droids.
They're pretty funny. So, I mean, text messaging or like getting sent to your personal device would be way more convenient.
But I mean, everybody's talking about having drones deliver things. Why not have them deliver messages?
I mean, it's kind of a step backwards in a way. It's a robot telegram.
Right.
We're so far beyond telegram.
But what if you need that physical message, the verification that it's that's the person you want the message to go to? Totally off topic, and we're going to have to take this out.
No, I think it's interesting. So he gets a message, and it's from the girl. Meet your female companion at 4 o'clock at the Statue of Liberty.
It's very Harry Met Sally, but with the Statue of Liberty instead.
Yeah. So he's got to ditch the mob guys that are tailing him.
And he totally murders them.
He doesn't murder both of them. Guns pop out of the back of the cab. He shoots one on his like speeder bike and explodes him. And then turns into a tunnel. And the other guy just commits suicide and flies into the tunnel. Rewatching it, he's not responsible for that guy's death at all.
But the other one, totally.
Yeah. Maybe he was just sad because the other guy died. And he's just like, he can't go on without clamps. And crashes into the...
So they're at the top of the torch.
And she tells him she's going to sell to the mob guy. Harry wants 50%.
She convinces him to help. He agrees if he gets half.
So they're going to meet at the bridge to sell the Lochnar.
He waits in the cab. She sells it.
Yeah, she sells it in the middle of the bridge. Mob boss shows up without his lackeys because they're dead.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any others. It's a mob of three. So she sells it to him for, I don't remember how much it was. It was like 300,000 space bucks or some kind of garbage currency.
Yeah. And they drive away and he picks it up and melts.
Yeah, Lochnar melts him. He's not worthy, I guess.
She pulls a gun to double-cross him, and for some reason doesn't realize cabs have this melting back seat.
He might be the only one, but yeah, he melts her.
He doesn't get half, he gets the whole thing.
What I think is remarkable is after he melts her, he turns the meter off. And I was just like, he's had this running the whole time? Like, yeah, we'll go to the bridge to do your deal where I get half, but, you know, it's a cab. He turns the meter off after he melts her.
That's pretty good.
So it all works out for Harry in the end. You didn't like that one at all?
Not really.
Oh, I thought that one was good. The cartoon sex is gross, but yeah. Overall, interesting story. I like the...
cliche, boring...
Fifth Element. It's Fifth Element without the weird, horrible alien opera scene. So we cut to the Lochnar still tormenting the little girl. So the Lochnar, I don't know, I guess a projection screen? It's showing her things. She is still horrified.
Yeah.
Mouth agape.
The same stills. It tells her she has powers.
And we have the Den story.
John Candy as a kid.
I love this. So a little kid.
It totally looks like a 12-year-old.
It does look like a little kid. And even what he's doing, he's working on a little science experiment.
The voice that John Candy's doing it's totally like a little kid. I didn't think he was 18 until he says it later on.
I think he's remarkable in this. This one is my favorite by far. I love it. I've loved it since I was a little kid. So he finds this meteorite.
This is like a bad porn fantasy.
I don't know.
Oh, what if I went to a world that was all women?
I get it. But for me, I think this is a fun little adventure story. So he finds this green meteorite and takes it in.
He can touch it.
He can, so he's worthy. So he's doing experiments with lightning.
Yeah, he has a lightning rod that with a cable that goes into his room.
Yeah, into like a Jacob's ladder.
I guess he's trying to harness it, and it works.
It does, because Lochnar plus lightning equals magic.
Teleporting.
So, yeah, something lightning strikes him. He goes in a space wormhole and ends up on a different planet as a purple Hulk.
Purple big Hulk guy naked above this weird ritual.
He's on a castle and he's got he's just completely naked and pulls something off the wall like a tapestry or a flag. He's like, I'm not going to walk around here with my dork hanging out. The John Candy voiceover is so good. I love this. It's hilarious.
He does great things, but this was not great.
Best review ever. So there's a weird pool down there, and there's a cult scene going on.
A whole lot of unnecessary boobs.
To me, this reminds me of the cult scene at the end of Dragnet. For some reason, this always does. So they're worshipping Ulatek, which, I don't know if you picked this up, it's Cthulhu backwards.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a little, nod. So they throw a girl into this red pool.
And
Den, what'd you do that for?
He dives right in, and he can swim forever underwater, holding his breath forever.
I love it because he mentions, my old body would have given out, but this new body, I did win too big, sure. I'm having a stroke.
It's a vertation.
Yeah, a very heavy vertation. This new body works great. So he saves her and he lays her out on the shore there. He's like, I don't know what it was about her. She had the most beautiful eyes.
I have the note here. They bone. Almost.
So, I think it's amazing because this is another male fantasy that she wakes up and she's just like, if any of my form finds you pleasing, I'd be happy to please you as a thanks. Like, that never happens. You're never like, oh, I almost died. I almost drowned. We swam for miles underwater. Let's get busy. But male fantasy land. So, yeah, they're about to get down, and then the
aliens show up.
The monkey sea blocking men show up. He's about to get busy with her, and then they're just like, come with us.
Okay, okay.
And they take him to a castle, and they meet Ard, who is the human inspiration for Hedonism Bot from Futurama.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like very, oh, Den. He's fantastic.
He tells the guards to castrate him.
Yeah, castrate him. And then Den's voiceover, uh-oh. Just beats up these monkey men.
And shoots the leader.
Yeah, he shoots him. He heals. Ard is Wolverine slash Hedonism Bot.
And the girl is brought out encased in glass.
Sleeping Beauty style. She's passed out under magic, just under a glass thing.
And he's told he has to go on a quest for the girl.
To steal the Loch Nahr from the queen. I love how he convinces him. You know, Den's like, you know, why should I do that? And he's like, because if you don't, you die, she dies, everybody dies. And he goes, sounds reasonable to me. Ard is very funny to me. That line delivery, it was great to me.
Yeah.
You die, she dies, everybody dies.
I'd enjoy that in a better movie.
I like this movie.
He's on the quest with a bunch of the monsters.
The monkey men.
And they go into these caves to go into the other person's castle.
Yeah, I love that there's an underground passageway straight into the queen's quarters.
It's good.
They go down into the sewer. I mean, there is a castle with walls and security guards, and it's very secure, but if you go into the sewer, straight into the queen's room.
It goes a couple of different places because they split up.
It does.
But before they split up, this awesome mole monster eats a guy.
Totally not needed. Mole monster shows up and eats a guy. The other guys run away and it's over.
So they split up. Den is walking in. He's like, oh, I found the orb. He's walking into the dark, feeling around.
Yeah, he goes into the queen's room and he goes, I had the strangest feeling. Then the lights came on and he's grabbing the queen's boobs.
Basically, he was set up.
How was he set up?
Because the other guys, when they split up, they went to go find the Loch Nahr. They sent him in to get captured.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a good point. I never thought about the plot that way.
Because they wanted the Loch Nahr and they didn't want him trying to save the girl because of what they wanted to do later.
Right. So the queen does the very male fantasy thing, please me and I might let you live.
And the guards are all bothered. They're like, ugh, she wants to bone again.
It seems like that's her thing. I love it though. She goes, please me and I'll let you live. And he goes, uh-oh.
And so after they bone, they find out the orb was stolen.
Den changes color constantly.
Really?
He's like a chameleon. In the beginning he's purple, then he's like orange, and then here he's brown. He's all over the place. It's bizarre.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah. So he gets busy with the queen, and she gives him this speech. I love this. The rising moon climaxes our love. He's like, I knew I was good. Or, what does he say? It's like I didn't know I was that good. The Loch Nahr is missing, and the queen blames Den, obviously, and tries to
kill him. So he was distracting her.
Yeah.
And he was, but it wasn't his fault.
It was. So he takes off, just dives out a window.
Well, the guards try to kill him, and instead he kills the guards like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So he gets away.
And we have Ard being creepy. He's trying to summon Ulatek.
Doing the same ritual that she was doing.
Right. Den pulls some magic stuff right here. Because at one minute he's riding a weird horse anteater thing. And then next thing you know, one of the guys that's about to throw the girl into the pool again for Ulatek is just Den. He just takes off his hood and it's him. It's just like magic. He just swaps out. So the queen and Ard are fighting over the Loch Nahr, and this is how we get
this dude is so whiny.
It's my Loch Nahr. I love that. Even as a kid, I love that. It's my Loch Nahr. It's mine. And they're just fighting like children. What I love is all these people are battling, all these different aliens, and there's dudes with swords fighting people with swords, and then there's just dudes with machine guns just mowing people down.
And the two leaders are up there fighting like little kids, naked.
Anytime there's a universe where there are machine guns, swords are obsolete.
True. I
hate it when you have these universes when there's both. You're like, no, I'd prefer the machine gun, thanks. I don't need your mystical sword.
That's every 80s cartoon we ever loved.
It is. It's nuts. Yeah. Wizards, all that stuff.
G.I. Joe. You've got the samurais that don't use guns. Masters of the Universe. guns and swords in the same universe.
Just in the movie.
No.
The cartoon has guns?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in forever.
The movie was bad, but it was still a pretty reasonable recreation of that universe.
Yeah, I don't know. I did like all that stuff as a kid. Now it seems just stupid to me.
Yeah.
Just, I'll take the machine gun, thanks, and you'll never get closer than 20 feet. So the Queen and Ard are fighting over the Loch Nahr.
Naked.
And lightning strikes.
John Candy throws a spear that he ties a chain to, Back to the Future style.
Yes. So using his knowledge of science, he defeats evil. So he throws that so the lightning strikes the chain, and then Loch Nahr plus lightning equals magic, and the Queen and Ard disappear.
Yeah.
He does the whole, I wonder where they went. Probably back on Earth. Boy, Mom is going to be surprised.
So leaders are gone. They decide to fly off on this thing to Bone.
Yeah, they take off on a bumblebee. Him and the broad take off on that bumblebee and fly away.
Yeah, talking about, oh no, we'll stay here. I'll stay here. And they basically are talking about they're going to go Bone forever.
Yeah, and you know,
he doesn't want to be the leader.
She says, well, with the Loch Nahr, you can't, or without the Loch Nahr, you can't go back to Earth. He's like, why would I want to go to Earth? Here, I'm dead.
Yeah, it's weird.
I loved this. You didn't find any of that funny?
The Back to the Future lightning scene?
None of the, like, the little voiceover stuff and
some reasonable lines, but if it was in a better movie, I'd enjoy it. This, it was just, I was too distracted by all the dumb, naked people.
I get it. For me, I think this is hilarious to me.
What's worse is I didn't watch this alone. So I'm watching this, I'm like, what the hell? But it was weird. I'm like, ugh. I have to, like, I didn't choose this. I didn't know anything about this.
I love this. So the Loch Nahr flies off the weird planet Den is on and flies into a space station. And we have a guy that looks like Jim Neighbors, Hanover Fist.
Okay.
He finds a Loch Nahr. It's the size of a gumball. Picks it up for some reason. And we have the trial of Lincoln F. Stern, who looks exactly like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Really?
Doesn't he?
I guess.
So it's the middle of his trial. He is up for some heinous stuff. Something like
murder, theft, rape.
37 counts of rape. And then, as a joke, one moving violation.
That was dumb.
Elwood Blues has got nothing on this guy. He pleads not guilty. His attorney thinks it's a bad move.
His attorney sucks.
Yeah. He's like, don't worry, Charlie. I've got an angle. He keeps saying he's got an angle. Hanover Fist is called to the stand.
Weird name.
He swears in. And we're back to the attorney and Lincoln Stern. And he just keeps saying, I've got an angle. I paid him 35,000 Zulex to testify on my behalf. So they start talking to Hanover Fist. And he's like, he's a great man, and he's never done anything wrong. And some of the stuff, he starts to hulk out, so he'll just kind of go schizo and just like, unless you count the preschool prostitution ring. And that one in particular is so gross to me. They should have thought up a different thing for that. I get this guy's gross, but preschool prostitution line, that's my line. That you crossed the line a little bit, heavy metal.
Yeah.
That one's pretty gross.
Yeah.
So he's kind of freaking out a little bit.
He's and playing with the orb the whole time, like a little marble on the desk.
Yeah.
And it keeps flashing back to it, like, as he starts to snap.
But the orb isn't really responsible, we find out, for why he's doing this. He just hulks out like this. So at a certain point, he just completely loses it, like he's going to kill Lincoln Stern, and goes complete Hulk and grows all big, starts smashing up the courtroom. He's chasing after Lincoln Stern, and we have Lincoln running away.
And here's Scooby-Doo.
I get it's kind of Scooby-Doo.
It's totally Scooby-Doo.
He's running through the space station trying to get away.
With the weird robot running by helping him. Is that voiced by John Candy?
I can't remember.
There was John Candy in the courtroom scene for a second. One line.
There was. So Stern's running away, and he finally gets to this, like, dead end. And I sort of don't understand the reactions.
My note here is Scooby-Doo exclamation mark, sad face.
That's the best note ever. So Fist catches up to Stern in this hallway. He's like, I got something for you. And he pulls out the 35,000 Zulex to pay. He pays him and
then ejects him.
Yeah, he turns to normal again. You know, thanks, boss. And he ejects him into space.
All it did was interrupt the trial. It's going to have to start over in my mind.
And it had nothing to do with the Loch Nahr. He was going to pay him so he would hulk out and ruin everything.
Yeah, I don't know. The Loch Nahr was with him. That's about it.
Yeah, but clearly this was a thing that Hanover Fist does.
Really?
I mean, he paid him to hulk out and do that.
I thought the whole Loch Nahr scene, flashing to it, was part of that. It made him do that.
Why else would Stern pay him 35,000 Zulex to do that?
Because he was talking about how great he was. He wouldn't do this stuff. He was just testifying the lie, but then it changed. He hulked out and...
Maybe. To me, it seemed like he was... When he caught him in the dead end there, it seemed like Stern was like, thanks for doing your thing.
It's a cartoon, and we're taking too long talking about this dumb scene.
I love this movie. Sucks him into space, and...
Fist is dead.
And we have the World War II bombers, and this is skippable, almost.
Absolutely, this is awful.
They're getting shot up, the co-pilot goes to check on everybody in the back, they're all dead.
Everyone but the pilots are dead.
Yeah, and the Lochnar flies in and makes everybody go zombie.
He gets to the back of the plane, and he notices that somebody starts waking up. And he leaves, and he gets back to the middle of the plane, and there's nobody there anymore. All the dead guys are gone.
Right.
And he opens the gunner hatch.
And gets sucked in and eaten. Killed, presumably.
Yeah.
Then the zombies are coming at the pilot. He bails out, lands on an island full of crash planes and zombies. That's the end.
No, it's not the end. Because it goes to the Pentagon. That's the same scene.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I always consider these two separate ones.
No, they're talking about the mutations and the radiation.
Okay, so we have Dr. Anrak pulling up at the Pentagon, and he's being hounded by reporters about mutation and space radiation. The Happy Face ship flies over the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. As a kid, this is like my second favorite one. I love this so much. The doctor starts getting all rapey on the reporter, like the court reporter in there.
Was that because of the spaceship?
I'm not
sure.
The
beam that came down?
Well, the doctor is a robot from the spaceship.
Really?
Yeah. So he's getting all rapey, and a big straw comes in and sucks the doctor and the woman up. And the doctor is a robot all crumpled up, and the John Candy robot is like, oh, I gotta fix him again. So the doctor, I guess, was a robot of their creation to snatch Earth chicks.
And deny the radiation.
Right.
Okay.
Weird. Very bizarre. So he suck up that woman. She is so nonchalant about...
Oh, yeah. I've just been abducted by aliens. Whatever.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It was dumb.
We have Ramus as one of the cool aliens. And she gets sucked up, and she's so chill, she's bitching about her dry cleaning.
Who's the other guy?
I don't know.
I was thinking he was trying to do a Bill Murray.
Kind of. I like these two aliens. The robot John Candy is so great to me.
He's pretty good.
What I think is so gross, this is another one of those gross, like, man moments. She immediately is like, I've got a gynecologist appointment. Like, you couldn't make it anything else. They had to go gynecologist. So the ship splits. They leave Earth, and she takes off with the robot John Candy, and we have the awesome Coke scene.
They, like, swirl lines of Coke all around the floor.
Well, not Coke. Plutonium Nyborg.
Okay, still. It's white lines all the way around the floor in swirly patterns. The floor is covered, and the two of them go sniffing the floor.
This movie super glorifies cocaine. It really does, because they just have a great time snorting up this drug. So they're high on the plutonium Nyborg, and they're flying through space. Did you see the Enterprise?
I did. I have your Enterprise cameo.
It's great. Do we have the chick in bed with the robot?
Yep, they bang.
It's kind of awesome, and he does his swirly finger thing that's kind of gross.
Ugh.
And he starts talking to her about marriage.
Is she the one that says mixed marriages don't work?
So bad. I can't believe that's in this. It never caught me before, but that's pretty racist.
Yeah.
Right? Mixed marriages just don't work, she says. And then eventually, he talks her into marrying him. Just, I'll marry you, but we have to have a Jewish wedding. And then asks, are you circumcised?
Why would she ask that? They boned.
Yeah, she would know. And then they crash into a space station.
That's what you get when you fly on Coke.
I guess. On plutonium Nyborg.
Yeah.
So is that our driving under the influence scene for this movie?
There you go.
Because I think we're batting 1,000, right?
Stripes?
I don't know.
I think it stopped.
Huh. So that's it. They crash into that space station. We're back at the house.
And some more narration.
Yeah, we've got the Lochnar tormenting the woman. And then we're in gritty Super Mario reboot land. It's just tubes, green tubes, and wasteland.
It was weird. And then the orb is giant and it crashes into a mountain.
Yeah, and we have the Lochnar volcano and it goes totally Ninja Turtles on a group of dudes. It just mutates them all.
They're climbing up the mountain to go see it. And it spews green lava on them.
Yeah.
And it fills this valley full of people with this green lava.
And they just mutant Hulk out, turns them into angry green mutants. I love it. So the mutants are storming the human settlement. and we have the awesome Mob Rules song by Black Sabbath. And this is an Aussie Black Sabbath. This is Ronnie James Dio Black Sabbath.
Okay.
I love this song. Okay. And this scene to it, just these like mutants storming the place.
This is a G.I. Joe fight scene, but with death and gore.
Yeah, yeah. And we have the elders. The elders are held up sort of in the center of it. And he starts, the elder is talking about one of Tarek's blood, the last defender. You know, he's going to call one of Tarek's blood to save them.
And everybody thinks they're all dead, but there's one last defender.
This is the most absurd dialogue. I would almost want to pull a clip, but it's too absurd.
It's pointless.
So bizarre. It's almost like a parody.
I wouldn't let you put a clip in.
It's like a parody of like fantasy sci-fi dialogue. Just Tarek the defender's blood of the last one. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
So the door is being smashed in.
And the Lollipop Guild kid goes to secure the door.
He's so the Lollipop Guild.
So he tries to do this weird pumping thing that's supposed to put up something to block the door. He gets it, but the door slams open.
So, oh man, we've had this. We're doing pretty good on the, like, let's fortify the door scenes.
Yeah, he didn't put a chair up against the door. That's the problem. The Lollipop Kid becomes a lollipop.
Yeah, they come in and they shoot him all up. And then we have...
He's got spears through him. He's like...
He's done.
Yeah.
And then we have Boobs McGee riding on Falcor.
Weird. This is where... this is where it turns into some weird 3D-like animation.
This is so slow, too. We have such slow scenes of...
Takes forever.
She's just flying around this dinosaur skeleton.
And then she... lands, takes off her robe, so she's naked.
We have some gray pubes. Gray pubes are gross.
Okay. So she swims, and there's this giant statue of a girl kneeling, and she walks into the crotch.
She walks into the crotch, and this is... She dons the sacred stripper gear from the Temple of Tarek the Defender. She gets it from the, like, magic box, and it's the scene of her putting on this...
I'm thinking she's putting on this great armor or something, but, you know, it's like a thong
it's
and...
It's like spandex.
Yeah, yeah.
So she is late to the party. We have a lot of flying in between this, but we'll skip it. She flies to the settlement, and the elder is dead, everybody is dead, the city is destroyed.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job calling the defender.
No, she was really late. And she needed to pick it up with that flying and that slow swim. So she sees the city is destroyed. She finds the little medallion from the mutant guy. Somehow left it. She takes off again. She sees a bar. She gets out. She ties up her chocobo. She goes in. And
there's a bar fight?
The band is so awesome. It's so Max Rebo. But they're, like, playing weirder instruments. I call them garglogophones.
Garglogophones.
It's just weird alien instruments. They're very 80s, like, new wave, kind of. This bar is magnificent. It's like Mos Eisley meets the Double Deuce from Roadhouse. Everybody is fighting.
Yeah, they're constant, like, bar fight.
Punching each other while they drink. It's remarkable. So she's a regular there. Because she says not a word to the bartender. She goes up and just holds up a finger, like, give me one. And he hands her regular drink, right?
Maybe they don't serve much more than a drink.
He's got a rack of stuff behind him. She just holds up a finger and he hands her
stuff. It didn't look like she had been there. She, like...
Me either, but she doesn't say a word and she gets exactly what she wanted.
Huh.
I don't know.
It's a movie.
ASL, man. American Sign Language.
There you go. Or USL? Universal?
Yeah. Universal Sign Language.
So a couple of those people bother her.
Yeah, a bunch of rapey dudes surrounding her.
And she knocks one out.
Kind of, though, like, I'm not going to be that guy, but really, if you go out dressed like that, expect the worst. I don't want to be that guy, but seriously.
This is the point where I say, yes, I agree with that. It's what she's wearing. If you're walking around in a thong and little tiny string top bikini...
She's barely covered up.
Yeah, she's going to be bothered.
So she fights these guys, and I love that these mutant guys...
It's not a fight.
It's a slaughter.
She knocks one out and chops two heads off. It's over.
It's remarkable because they bleed straight up Nickelodeon slime. She kills those dudes. She goes and she shows the little thing to the bartender. And he tells her where to find that guy, where the green light is, whatever. And she takes off to go kill Bill on her chocobo.
And ends up in a net trap.
Yeah, she gets caught in the net. And the dude who goes to see her when she's in that net... is like zombie Barry Bostwick from Megaforce. He's got the headband. He's got the beard. He's got the hair.
Wow.
He's super Barry Bostwick.
Is that the Bad Vader?
Bad Vader is the other guy.
Okay, this is sort of his dumb Vader.
I have him in my notes as Vader too. Do you?
Yeah, I have dumb Vader constantly.
So Vader shows up and he says, "Have her bound and washed, and kill the bird."
That's creepy. Have her bound and washed.
Yes, it is. Kill the bird, Canadian Vader.
There you go.
So she is naked, tied up, and Vader whips her and then throws her in a hole. They try to kill the chocobo, but it kind of escapes.
I have annoying bird. It makes the worst noise.
It does.
It's a person.
It is a
screaming.
Person.
It's so awful, and it's constant.
It is. I gotta know who did that voice.
I was so looking forward to that dumb bird to die.
That's terrible. So bird saves her, and they fly away.
And magically, she's dressed by the time the bird gets to her.
Yeah, they must have thrown the sacred stripper garb down in the hole as well.
And she just, it's on.
Yeah.
It took an hour last time she got dressed, but it took less than a second this time.
It is magic. Maybe some of the elders would have lived if she would have
used the magic trick
lit to turn a fire under her ass a little bit the first time. So they have a bird chase, or a bat chase. The bird is being chased by the bats with the mutants on it.
And then the bird dies.
Hey, it gets shot in the neck and they crash. And they're crashed in a valley. Vader shows up to fight.
He comes alone.
He's surrounded by people, but it's very 80s movie climax. Like, it's going to come down to a one-on-one.
Yeah, but that's dumb.
So they get into a fight. She's about to get killed, and the chocobo comes back to life and beaks Vader in the leg. So she kills him.
I have, the bird isn't dead. Now it is.
So the bird's alive. She kills Vader. They fly off. And then they fly into the Loch Nahr and turn into lightning.
She kills him in a spectacular, what is it, Evil Dead style way.
It is.
She cuts off his arm, which has a saw on it, and kills him with that saw.
It's very Quentin Tarantino, but with there slime instead of blood.
Yeah. Punches into his face. The green volcano erupts. You get a weak Vader no from the orb.
You do, yeah. And they're back at the house, and the orb is somehow... The continuity is bizarre. I just give up trying to figure it out. But basically, it died in that world, so it's going to die in this.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we're back at the house, and the little girl is freaking out.
And she runs from the house.
The house explodes awesomely. It has that cut to, like, a miniature exploding.
Really?
Yeah, it's a weird animation cut where all of a sudden you can see it's clearly a miniature that's being exploded.
Oh, weird.
It reminded me of Poltergeist. So the little girl... ran away, house explodes, her life is ruined, and then a purple chocobo lands and they fly off.
Yeah, and she all of a sudden ages and becomes one of those creepy naked defenders.
She's not naked.
Almost.
Yeah. But she is the only woman we don't see naked in this.
My last note, what the F?
It would have been great if that was the final credit scroll.
That would.
WTF. ? I love this. I thought it was interesting and a fun fantasy.
You would.
I thought it was great. But I have watched this since I was a little kid. I'm surprised that I enjoyed it as much revisiting it, because I was a little nervous I wouldn't like it now, but I thoroughly did. I thought it was fantastic.
No.
It's weird. It's all over the place. I'm really shocked you didn't get any enjoyment out of this, especially the den one. I thought at the very least you'd enjoy that one.
I enjoyed ripping on it with other people.
Man, I don't get that.
I'm glad I didn't watch it alone so I could rip on it the way I did.
That's terrible.
No, it was fun destroying this awful movie.
Well, agree to disagree.
Yeah, I agree that you're wrong.
So, yeah, there's not really much fun trivia for this because it's just sort of an animated thing. Everybody showed up, did some VO work, and called it a day. Did you find anything interesting? I got nothing.
I was going to see if I can find some reviews.
They're all good. You're in the minority here.
You read this review. Just read it.
A lot of reviews of this film are negative, and I spotted one that said this film is merely for the older generation. Well, I just have to say that this comment is incorrect. I myself was not produced until after the film had been around for some years, and I highly enjoy this wonderful flick. That's how a serial killer would say that.
Yeah.
I was not produced until this film's completion. This is bizarre. This is some Asperger's stuff so far. I got the chance to sit down and watch the movie with my mother when I was 13. And I instantly fell in love with it. This is a scary family already. I love the way the green orb links the stories together. The humor, the music, and yes, even the animation.
Oh my goodness.
There's some creepy stuff going on under this. True, the animation is nothing compared to the stuff that's out there these days. But this film is a classic. If you don't understand the film stories, then you clearly weren't paying attention. Maybe I haven't been paying attention for the last 20 years I've been watching this, but some of them I just chalked it up to like, oh, this is fantasy, but okay. Heavy Metal Magazine is fantastic. I agree with that one. The magazine is great. And this movie is nothing short of the magazine's beautiful creativity. Also, comparing Heavy Metal to its sequel, Heavy Metal 2000, is simply wrong. Heavy Metal 2000 pales in comparison to the original. Sure, the soundtrack is amazing, but in my opinion, that's about it. First couple paragraphs of this, pretty spooky. Last couple I agree with.
Yeah, something's wrong with this guy.
Or girl. So overall, I think it's great. Heavy Metal Magazine was interesting and fun to read. I think it's still around.
Yeah, I just didn't enjoy it. No fun.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. I like it.
Just admit you're wrong and we'll move on.
Can't do that. I love it. You're in the minority. Most people like this. Even people that were produced after the film. Well, I guess we'll call it a day. Next week's going to be fun.
National Lampoon's Vacation.
National Lampoon's Vacation, yeah.
I love that movie.
I do too. It's going to be exciting to talk about. That one I have seen way less than Christmas Vacation.
I don't know. I've seen that with them both a lot.
We grew up watching all of those.
Oh, yeah.
We're into the wheelhouse of these are the films we watched on repeat.
The one I've only seen a few times is Vegas Vacation.
And I enjoyed that. The Cousin Eddie stuff and the weird casino is great.
I love the weird casino with...
Pick a hand.
Yeah. And the one dealer. Princess Bride.
Wally Shawn.
I love him.
He's the inconceivable guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wally Shawn.
He's great. Love him. And he is a great bad dealer in this. But we're on a completely different movie. We should get back on track.
Yeah, this has been a short episode, I think. So anyway, Vegas Vacation. Not being done. National Lampoon's Vacation. Should be fun.
It's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, you can find us at popcorn_with on Twitter.
Visit our website, popcornwith.com. Or you can find us on Facebook.
Or you can give us a call at 470-729-BUCK. But I know you won't.
Maybe not. I hate to ask this, but it's starting to cost us some money to do this. If you feel like it, visit our website. We've got a donation link on there. We'd appreciate it.
Throw us a couple bucks. We work hard to bring this to you. We have to watch movies, and we have to talk about those movies. This is not easy.
No.
Okay, this part is now we're watching fun movies, but donate for when we had to watch Class of 44. Donate for Peter having to watch 1941 twice, because that is unhuman. That is torturous.
And for me having to watch this movie. Heavy Metal? Oh, my
no,
God.
No. Oh. Guys, the bandwidth gets expensive, especially because I went off and did stupid Groundhog Daily, which is eating up a lot of it. So we'd appreciate any help you could throw our way.
Yeah. Thanks.
If not, you know, whatever. Still listen to the show for free. Still tell a friend. Still happy you like it.
We're just trying to keep ads off of this. We don't want to have to deal with reading an ad halfway through.
I mean, but if it's a cool ad, like Funko Pop wants to make a John Candy action figure, I'm all about it.
Hey, okay, yeah. Well, that's not so much an ad. That's just covering something interesting.
I mean, if it's John Candy related, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
We're terrible at asking for money.
We are.
I love you guys.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
I'm cutting that one.
No!
Oh, listen, I just wanted to say goodbye and remind you that the good guys always win, even in the 80s.
I think it's recording. Oh. Let's leave that in. Hi, guys. Octopus Caveman here.
I'm Peter.
And welcome to
Pop. Hold on.
I'm Peter.
I'm Peter.
We can just start over. All right, this is staying in.
No.
I knew I was good, but I didn't know I was that good.